But y'all know me, and I feel like it's really important that we connect things together in the scriptures, and we're getting kind of so far away from where I thought we would be, but I believe the Holy Spirit's leading us. And I said, Lord, you know, do I need to do like a digital breadcrumb trail so I know how to find my way back, you know, to this trailhead? And he's like, I'll show you, just trust me. So, but tonight I want to, we're doing kind of like a subset of a subset of a subset, but tonight I want to talk to you about why it's so important to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. All right. Because Jesus said to the disciples that it had been given to them, but to know the mysteries, but it hadn't been given to others. And we spent a little time last week talking about, you know, is God playing favorites there, or is it available to everybody? And it's absolutely available to everybody. But not everybody qualifies yet. Amen. And Jesus is trying to get us all qualified to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But there are a lot of things in the Word of God, because we don't understand it, we don't appreciate it. If we really understood what it meant, we would value it more. We would be willing to pursue it with greater motivation and greater intensity. And I'll be honest with you, just repent before the Lord and before you. I mean, I thought mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, that's important, you know, understand some things. I had no idea how advantageous, that's the word that the Lord really kind of dropped in my heart and emphasized. If you have been given by God to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, you are in the most advantageous position that you can be in on planet Earth as a born-again, spirit-filled believer. Now, again, born again, advantage. Spirit-filled, greater advantage. Amen? But there are a lot of born-again, spirit-filled people who don't know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And of course, you got to be born again. You got to have the Holy Spirit to help you, you know, to know those things. So let's jump in here. Isaiah 55, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what is not satisfied? And then that last couple of phrases from verse 2. Listen carefully to me. This is God speaking, capital M there on the slide in the word. Listen carefully to me. God speaking. He's saying, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. And as I've said before, I got really stirred up and I've got lots of sermons and things I want to talk to you about, your soul delighting itself in abundance. But before your soul can delight itself in abundance, your soul's got to eat what is good. And before your soul can eat what is good, it's got to listen carefully to the Lord. And so that led us down some different pathways in connecting different verses together. And we've said that listening, letting your soul delight itself in abundance begins with listening carefully to the word of the Lord. Now, let me just, if I could, and I know y'all are fine with it, let's... This phrase, having ears to hear, and we see it used in both the First Testament and the New Testament. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus also used this statement. And what we see from Scripture is that there's more to hearing than sound waves entering the ear, the auditory nerve. Just as there's more to seeing than light reaching the optic nerve. Jesus is talking about a heart connection or an attitude of the heart or seeing and hearing and understanding with the heart. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus delivers the parable of the sower. And he begins explaining to the disciples that parable, and it begins in verse number 9. He who has ears to hear, there's that statement again, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, the multitudes, it has not been given, For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he who has, to, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Okay? Now, he goes on to say, I speak to them in parables because seeing they don't see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So let me just kind of slow it down right here. I want to focus on these two verses as we move forward tonight. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. One of the things that we established last week is that even though it was given to the disciples, Jesus clearly wanted everyone to receive or to be able to be given, to qualify is the word we used last week, to be given this same gift. Because again, that's why he was teaching in parables in the first place, was to bring the people to a place where their hearts were ready and open to receive. And so we said that, you know, here's the riddle. What enables God to give you more and prevents the devil from stealing what you have? And we've looked at some different things. We looked at John 6. We looked at some of the translations from the Passion Bible, the Passion Translation of the Bible. We looked at Luke 24. We looked at Mark 4, Luke 4. So I'm not going to try to go back over that, but if you look at all of those different verses that speak to this, And combine them, I believe this would kind of capture the essence of it, okay? A teachable heart that is willing to hear and respond favorably to the Word of God will be given more and more revelation. One more time. A teachable heart. When Jesus says, to him who has, more will be given. Who has what? Who has a teachable heart that is willing to hear. But some of the stuff we haven't gotten to yet that we will is also to respond favorably. Amen. Last week we started talking about being a steward of the mysteries, and we're going to circle back to that. But a steward of the mysteries means someone who values it, who oversees it, who has been entrusted with it, based upon their qualifications of doing something with what they've been entrusted with in the past. Jesus said, if you haven't been faithful in the small things, you'll never be faithful and be made ruler over many things. And that if you're not faithful with unrighteous mammon, that's money, then how will you ever be given true riches? And the true riches that he's talking about there are things that are otherworldly. He's not just talking about money there. He's using the unrighteous mammon, right, to say, okay, you got to be faithful in the unrighteous mammon if you're going to be given the good stuff. And the good stuff would have to be, come on, think about it now, it would have to be things that money can't buy. It would have to be things that unrighteous mammon, no matter how much of it you have, can't purchase. Are you seeing this? Okay. Now, I believe among other things what Jesus is talking about there is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So, clearly, the disciples were in a position to where they could be trusted with. They could be given the ability to know the mysteries. Jesus clearly said that they had been given that. Well, we used the example last week that God gives grace to everyone, but he gives more grace to the humble. So let's see how this connects with the phrase that I have on the screen, or the sentence that I have on the screen right now. Who has, more will be given. Who has what? Well, one translation says a ready heart. Another translation says a willing heart. Another translation says a teachable heart. One's, I think, did I say this already? An open heart. Okay? And remember, we compared this to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who heard many of Jesus' sermons. I mean, they were there to hear Jesus preach as much as anybody. But they weren't there with an open, willing to respond, teachable heart. They were there to find something to wrong with him, to catch him saying something that they disagreed with, something that they could use to accuse him. And so remember, he healed the man that was born blind, and they just kept on interrogating him, kept on interrogating him. And finally he said, "Why do you keep asking me these questions? Do you also want to be one of his disciples?" And they're like, "We're Abraham's, you know, Moses' disciples, blah." You know, so clearly they were not interested in learning something from Jesus to apply to their lives. They weren't interested in hearing what Jesus had to say in hopes that they might hear something that would prove he was the Messiah. They were instead listening for him to say something that would disprove that he was the Messiah. Do you see the difference in the attitude of the heart? So a teachable heart that is willing to hear and respond favorably to the word of God will be given, someone who has that will be given more and more revelation, will be given more and more insight into the kingdom, will have more and more of the mysteries of the kingdom revealed to them. Well, think about it now. What's the opposite of this? A heart that is not teachable screams of pride. A heart that is not teachable is someone who believes they already know. To me, it's one of the worst things. And please, parents, don't ever speak this over your children. Even if they're being stubborn, even if you're having trouble, please don't ever say over your children that you can't tell them nothing. You ever heard people get frustrated? You can't tell them nothing. But guess what? Somebody who has an unteachable heart is someone you can't tell them nothing. A heart that is not willing is one that has no intentions of responding favorably. In other words, they have no intentions of doing anything with what they are hearing. What qualified the disciples to be given this precious gift to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? It was because Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, they knew that these men and women were just, you know, ready and willing and waiting to hear something that they could respond favorably to. So a teachable heart reflects humility, while an unteachable one reflects pride. And so this comes back to James chapter 4 verse 6, but he gives, come on now, more grace. He gives grace to everybody. He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But some people qualify for more grace. What qualifies you? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So the humble qualify for more grace, but the prideful disqualify themselves. When Jim McElwain was the coach of the Florida Gators, I don't remember the young man's name, and I guess even say it if I could remember the young man's name, but he took some performance enhancing drugs. He failed a drug test and broke the rules. And in an interview, they asked Coach McElwain, they said, I bet it was really hard to kick him off the team. He said, I didn't kick him off the team. Oh, really? Is he still on the team? No, he's not on the team anymore. Well, you kicked him off the team. He said, no. He said, that young man disqualified himself. He disqualified himself. So when we talk about God giving to one something that he's not given to the others, it's not because God doesn't want everybody to have it. It's because an unteachable heart disqualifies you. A know-it-all attitude disqualifies you. More interested in finding something to disprove he's the Messiah than trying to find something that proves he is disqualifies you. Is this making sense? So we want a heart then that qualifies us to have eyes that see. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears. That word blessed means that they've been empowered by God the Father to see and to hear. Now, that's important if you understand what a mystery is. So let's talk about that now for a few minutes. Praise God. John chapter 3, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing. This is John the Baptist, greatest prophet born of a woman, unless it has been given to him from heaven. So the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is a gift that's given by God, and we must qualify for it. We must qualify for it. In other words, the attitude of our heart either qualifies us or disqualifies us. Now, apart from receiving this gift, and it's because of the nature of what a mystery is, apart from receiving this gift, you will never have the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And listen to me now, I don't hope this doesn't sound prideful, but some of you have people that you really love in your life, people that you family members or friends that are like family members, co-workers that you work with for years, people that you love, and you try to talk to them about the things of God. You try to get them to see what you're seeing and appreciate and experience what you appreciate and experience. But it's this disconnect, right? Are you following me? Amen. Brother Keith Moore talks about this little rural Pentecostal church that he and his wife Phyllis, you know, they were just young, in love, got married, you know, young. I think he was 18. She was, anyway, they were young. A little bit younger than Pam and I. I was 18. Pam was 20. I'm sorry. I was 20. Pam was 18. And someone, I won't go through the whole story, but somebody had given them a tape of Brother Kenneth Copeland, I think was the first tape he was given, teaching. And, man, he's just like life-changing to them. And, of course, you know, being a part of that church, they had couples and other people that they'd grown up with in that church that they were close to and friends with in that church. And they'd just get so excited. They would give them copies of those messages and want them to listen to them. And they were like, You've experienced it, you know. It's like, man, this changing our lives, man. Y'all, this is the best thing we've ever heard. And they're like, let's just go get a pizza. You know, they're not... And it can be very frustrating. And if you're not careful, the enemy will try to lure you over, like we were talking about on Sunday morning, to try to manipulate them and all this other stuff. But again, you either have eyes to see it or you don't. Right? So the best thing that we can do is what Jesus did, is tell stories to create readiness of heart. Jesus told stories to nudge people towards receptive insight. And the story that you're going to tell with the most conviction and the most sincerity is your story. Are you following me? In other words, if people aren't ready for Psalm 82, or you say amen. If they're not, that you're God's. I mean, if they're not ready for that, okay, tell them your story. Tell them what he's done for you. Tell them the difference that it's made in your life. Amen. Because what are you trying to do? Before you can give them the tape about speaking in tongues, you gotta create some readiness of heart in them. Stories. People love stories. People listen to stories. So Jesus, guess what he did? He told stories. Did he tell stories because he didn't have anything else to say? No. He told stories because he knew that unless and until he created readiness of heart in the men and women that were coming to hear him preach, they would never receive anything that he had to offer them. And that's the same with you and me and the people that we love and are trying to help and minister to. Now, praise God. So, let me get to this part right here because this is important, all right? Before we go any further, I'm just going to kind of read a few things now. Before we go any further in our study, let's spend some time looking at what it means to be given the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And in the process, I want to help you value, and I'm including me in this as well, and appreciate the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's very important. And let me go back to some of these verses. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going too fast. You're moving too fast. From the Passion Translation, Mark chapter 4. Then he said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you, and according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. According to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. Now, I'm trying to do a couple of things tonight. If we don't value revelation, if we don't value the God-given ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, then we will never have a heart that qualifies us to know them. We will disqualify ourselves, right? Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. This comes back then to what Jesus taught us earlier, and that is, what you value, what you treasure, your heart will be connected to. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So by making something a priority in our lives, by assigning a value, what are your values? Your values, your family values, talking about family values, what does it mean? Well, your values may not be the same as other people's values in this room, because your values is what's important to you. What you value is what is important to you. Are you following me now? I stand in this pulpit every Sunday. I'm going to keep doing it until the Lord tells me, okay, son, that's enough. We'll do it again later, something like that, okay? I'm asking you to make our times together a priority. Okay? All right? Now, the numbers are growing on Wednesday and Sunday. Thank God, have you noticed that? And people watching online. All right? Okay? But there are a whole lot of folks who are doing other things tonight. I'm not judging. Listen, I'm not judging. But it's because they value other things. There are other things that are more important to them. I'm not judging anybody. That's between them and God. All right? But we have to make things. In other words, we think, well, you know, my heart's just not in it. You know what I'm saying? Well, your heart never will be in it until you choose to value it. Until you say, this is important. Until you say, you know what? There's only one first place. And I'm giving it to God and the things of God. Amen. So this is where the depth of our longing to understand comes from. Many years later, Brother Keith Moore asked the Lord, he said, Lord, why, you know, just me and Phyllis from a little town in Mississippi, why have you shown us all these things and taught us all these things? You know what the Lord told him? He said, that quick the Lord told him this. He says, because I knew you would value it. I knew you would value it. That stewardship, right? I knew you would do something with it. I knew that you would work to apply it to your life, and I knew that you would. I'm filling in the blanks here. I'm what that means, and what that look. Well, how do you know? Because I've listened to the man teach now for years and years and years. When the Lord said, "I knew you would value it," that means appreciate it, do something with it, be a steward over it, do what you can to get this same message to other people. Notice, first thing they did was try to give it to the people in their church. I mean, he talks about. Talks about when they first let him preach. You ever heard that story? He was so excited, so full of the word, you know, came up there and he was preaching away and it wasn't going over well. And one of the, let's just say, older gentlemen in the church interrupted him. Brother Keith, do you mean to tell me that? Disagreed. And it, as he said, it didn't go. He said he got in the car and was driving home. He said, Lord, that didn't go too well. He said, the only mistake you made, Keith, was when the man asked you if you meant to tell him, you should have said, no, sir, I'm telling you what the Lord said. I'm reading from his word, right? Amen. Already, so he's trying to, listen, it's a lot more enjoyable to give it to people who want it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So let's look at Amplified, and then we'll finish up with why it's such an advantageous position to know the mysteries. The Amplified, Mark 4:24 says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue. Virtue is power. Remember when the woman touched the hem of his garment and she was healed? Jesus said, who touched me? And they said, what do you mean who touched you? People are, he said, he perceived that virtue had left him. And we think virtue is, you know, like being a virtuous person. And that's, I'm not making to trivialize that. But virtue here is kind of like blessing. You know, people think, oh, I'll just bless you when somebody sneezes. No, blessing's talking about and supernatural empowerment from God. Virtue, again, is another word for the power of God. It was virtue that flowed out of Jesus' body and healed a woman that had been sick for decades. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more. And more besides will be given to you who hear. All right? Now, biblically speaking, because again, this word mystery, was it Scooby-Doo and the mystery wagon or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Mystery mobile or whatever. I mean, this word mystery, I don't know where that came from. There was the word mystery can mean a lot of things. So we're talking about, biblically speaking now, biblically speaking, a mystery is a sacred truth. Do you understand sacred? Something that's sacred, something that's holy, something that should be honored and reverenced and respected and valued and treasured and held in high esteem and high regard. A mystery is a sacred truth that is hidden or kept secret. It cannot be discovered or known by human reason and is only known by revelation from God. Okay? This is a mystery. This is a mystery. God's not a man. God's not a man. Fascinates me. I believe it's true. But how he breathes stars out of his mouth. That's what the Bible says. It's a mystery. Pastor Mark, you believe all that? I am all that. I'm asking. This is the God who created me. He breathed me out. I came out of him. Amen. It's a mystery. I don't. By faith we understand it, but I don't. Amen. How does that work? I'm not trying to be funny or silly. I can spit saliva out of my mouth. He's like, there goes stars. And there's, we have no idea how many. Literally, there's not numbers big enough. And the Bible says he knows every single one of them by name. Anybody remember a few years ago where the star registry, you could like buy a star and name it after somebody or whatever? I'm like, dude, y'all, I don't know what y'all doing, but God's already named them all. You know, I guess he could put your name in the name with it or something. I don't know. A mystery is something that cannot be discovered or known by human reason and is only known by revelation from God. So in an effort to try, and Pam and I were talking about this today, in an effort to try to help you connect with this in a better way, and I'm just going to wade off into this, and the Lord's going to help me. You agreeing with me? Let's look at it, first of all, from what advantage would someone in the present have if they could travel back in time? You would know and understand mysteries. Now, I'm using this word like physical, natural mysteries. Things that people 50 years ago did not know or understand. Meaning you would have knowledge of things and understanding of things that were still a mystery to everybody else. I'm kind of being silly here, but I hope you would think to buy some Google stock and some Apple stock and some Microsoft. How about Walmart? But see, 50 years ago, I mean, obviously these companies didn't even exist, but however many years ago, people didn't know. I still got an AOL email address. Anybody remember something called MySpace before Facebook? You know, it's like, what's this Facebook, MySpace? Why are they even trying? MySpace has already taken over. No, they hadn't, right? So you can't. But we didn't know what all that was going to do. We know it now. So if we go back, we know things. We can see things that are a mystery to everybody else. Yes, amen. Let's keep going. So going back in time would give you the advantage of knowing what was still a mystery to everyone else. I could go on. It's not necessary. I could talk a lot. I got to meditating on this today, and it was a lot of things kind of running through my heart and mind. You realize the founding father, our first president here, George Washington. History pretty much supports that. We accidentally killed him trying to heal him. Bled him to death. Because what was making him sick was a mystery. But they were at least kind of on the right track. It had something to do with what was in his blood. And if there's something bad in his blood that's making him sick, let's get that blood out of him. We didn't know how much we could actually let out. It's a mystery. Can you imagine if a doctor from 2026 could have went back to the late 1700s or whatever? You're killing him, you know. How about infectious disease? This is another one. Man, we take so much for granted. Before penicillin, bad teeth were killing people. You just cut your arm out working in the pasture and you could die from that. So bacteria was a mystery. Antibiotics, penicillin. It was a mystery. Can you imagine, like, today, if a doctor could load up a bunch of stuff and go back to the Civil War? How many people would have? Because why? Because he would have understood mysteries. that other people had not been given the understanding or knowledge of. Are you following me? What an advantage a doctor would have in the 1800s if he had understood bacterial infections and how to treat them with antibiotics. Understanding natural or physical mysteries puts us in a more advantageous position in life. How much more understanding of the far greater and superior mysteries of the spiritual realm that create and govern the physical? Are you following me? In other words, if understanding natural mysteries would give us an advantage in a bygone era, how much more will understanding spiritual mysteries help us right here, right now, today? Look closely at the life of Jesus, and you'll see what someone can accomplish in this created realm with an understanding of kingdom mysteries. Pam and I were talking about this today. You know, like, can you imagine a nurse going back, you know, the early days of this country with modern day medicine? They'd burn her at the stake. They'd call her a witch. Because of the results she could get. I mean, they would have to think it was something supernatural. Some kind of potion. Ain't it a potion? It's a Z-Pack. It's amoxicillin, man. Come on. They'd burn her at the stake. Witchcraft is heresy, whatever. are you following what I'm saying? All right. So now, I'm not trying to minimize. Please hear me. I'm not trying to minimize Jesus. But Jesus was like that. Here's the thing. He didn't come from another time. He came from another world. He didn't come from the future where they had more advanced understanding of medicine and disease and how to prevent it and treat it. He came from a world where there isn't any. And never will be any. That's why he healed them all, Matt. He didn't come from another time. He came from another place. He came from another world. Have you ever heard this kind of hyperbole? Have you ever, this kind of, you know, hype or advertisement or whatever? The future of medicine is here. What is somebody saying when they say that? The future of communications is here. What do people mean by that statement? They're saying we're doing things now the way they will be done one day in the future. But you don't have to wait. If somebody says the future of medicine is here, it speaks to an industry-changing breakthrough. Something that is ahead of its time. An advanced treatment or some type of advanced technology. Jesus didn't say the future of medicine is here. He said the kingdom is here. And it's available for you and me to not only benefit from, but to know the mysteries of. To know the mysteries of. Think for a moment that it's... I'm a little bit embarrassed to say this, but the girls were there that night when I was in youth. There's this game that Oliver and Samuel taught me. And it's where you get cards and you have to find a match. You know, you got this card that's got all these little symbols and drawings on them. And when a card's turned, you turn that first over card, and if you've got a symbol that matches one of the symbols on there, you call it out and you throw it down. All right? And so everybody's got the same number of cards, and the first person to put all their cards down wins. And it sounds easy, but, you know, you got, is it nine? Somebody help me. How many little drawings are on there, Evie? Is it nine? You know what I'm talking about? 10. Yes, a bunch of them. And you got a bunch on your card, and so you're trying to find one, right? So, and you'd have to know Joel. Joel is very competitive. That's why I think God's hand upon his life plus his competitive nature is why he's the number one salesman year in and year out where he works. But so we played a few games, and they said, come on, Uncle, come on, Pastor Mark, play. So I said, I'm not too good at this game. So I get my cards, and I didn't have matches, but I was going like, purple turkey, better, better. I mean, because nobody could, they're all focused on their cards. They're not paying attention that I'm cheating, right? Okay. And I was slamming it, Eric, I was just, and then I let them get one. Then I get three or four more in a row, you know. And they're like, how do you do that? You know, I'm like, I was actually cheating, you know what I'm saying? So probably wasn't a good example. Probably why I'm not working with the young people anymore. So what's the point? What, you ever heard the expression like taking candy from a baby? Okay. All right. So imagine you're competing, and this may be a bad example, but just hear my heart and the spirit, not the letter, okay? Imagine for a moment that you're competing with a group of people who don't even really understand what the game's all about. They don't even really know what it takes to win. It's a mystery to them, but it's not to you. You know. Are you following me? You see what they don't see. You not only do you know the rules of the game, you've practiced and gotten really good at them. Would that not give you an advantage if you knew what was a mystery to everybody else? If you could see what... See, watch this now. Even when we talk about... Stand with me. Even when we talk about... Jesus said the Holy Spirit would show you things to come. Is that not an advantage? That ties in with this. He doesn't show you things to come to scare you. He shows you things to come so that you can be prepared, or so that you can warn other people, or that, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why the Holy Spirit would do that. But that's part of his assignment. Amen. So we'll be what? Ready. Did Jesus see things differently than everybody else? Yes, he did. It's because he knew the mysteries. Let me say it another way. What was a mystery to everybody else was not a mystery to him. Now, what does that look like? It looks like results. Jesus knew something about the Father's kingdom. He knew... I need to just quit. I could just... Please tell me you're getting this, okay? It's how he did what he did. Again, imagine, you know, how in the world are you making all these people well, a doctor from the future? It's because he knows things you don't know, so he's able to do things that they don't know how to do, right? This was such a key factor in all the results that Jesus got. Jesus knew how to take a little boy's lunch and feed a bunch of people with it. He knew how to pay his taxes with a fish hook. Catch a fish, get gold out of his mouth. Spooky. I mean, you know, no respect, Jesus. You just showing out now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, you just showing out now. Oh, really? We owe some temple taxes? I'll tell you what, let's do it this way. His father showed him how, showed him a mystery. Now, lest you lose sight of it, he wants you to know those mysteries too. And we certainly want to qualify for them, don't we? Amen. Father, you're good to us. We love you. Thank you for this time together this evening. Again, Father, we believe you for protection. Our vehicles, our cars, our trees in our yard, our roofs, Lord, all of that, Father, we just believe you, Father, for ministering spirits that protect us and help us, our whole family of faith, Father.